I'll be using the New King James Version today. I baled hay till about an hour before sunset last night, and my rake broke, my baler broke. I got my neighbor to come over and finish it, and his baler broke, so I don't know. I guess it was time to quit, wasn't it? Psalm 34. I can't even find it in my own Bible. Oh, and my wife is visiting her dad, Frank White, in Oak Hill, West Virginia, because he's not doing great, and he has asbestosis you get from, he worked in a factory most of his life, and so she's visiting him right now. She told me, asked me to say hi for her. Psalm 34, in verse 11, we read, "Come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear." I don't think I had the right one after all. "I will teach you the fear of the Lord, who is the man who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." So, brethren, seek peace. What does this mean to seek peace? How do we seek peace? What is peace as far as God's concerned? Well, today we're going to look at how we can seek peace in three different areas. Doesn't mean they're the only areas, but they're the areas I chose. We're going to be looking at peace with God, peace with ourselves, and peace with others. Peace with God, we will start with first. Today we will be talking about peace. Please turn to John 14. And in John 14, and beginning in verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring remembrance all things that I said unto you." Verse 27, "Peace, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Peace. Christ said that He gives us His peace. Well, just what is Christ's peace? And what's the difference? Let's go ahead and look on down to the peace of the world. What is the peace of the world? You have to answer that before you can see the example to know what Christ's peace is. The peace of the world is through blood, war. We fought two great wars to end all wars, so we can have peace, and have fought many, many battles since then. And there are many more going to be fought. Sometimes peace is bought through money. You pay bribes. You make agreements. You make promises and then break them as soon as they are something that's not handy anymore. You can do it through threats. We can have peace through threats. Most people are afraid of the United States right now because of our military might. They don't respect us in any other way. But what happens when that might goes away? What about the peace of the world then? So what is the peace of Jesus Christ? The peace of Jesus Christ is a complete peace. It's a peace that is free of threat. It is a settling peace. It is a peace where you can go to sleep of a night and feel calm and protected, and you're not worried. The peace of the world, you're always looking over your shoulder, but not with Jesus Christ. Christ is a settling peace. Please turn to Psalm 34. I'm sorry, Psalm 32. I had 34, but I want to read 32 first. Psalm, beginning in verse 32. Chapter 32, verse 1. I'm sorry. Psalm 32. Blessed is he who gives transgression. I'm beginning in verse 1. Is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputes, does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. The day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely, in a flood of great waters, they shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with a song of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like horses or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. Many sorrows shall be in the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Why did I read this? Because this is the peace of God. When you have Christ giving you his peace, you will not have problems and fears from anyone who may be your enemies, from people who may be trying to do your harm. You will live in peace. You'll have silence. Your bones, as it says up here, his bones were groaning and so forth because he did not confess his sin. Sin leads to not having peace. But God's peace is being freed of the penalty and being forgiven for sin. So remember that sin stands between you and the peace of Christ. We must repent. God makes it very clear that we are to repent, and he is quick to forgive of all of our transgressions. You have power with the peace of Christ. Where there is no peace, there is no power. Now we'll move over to Psalm 34. I don't know how many of these will touch on Mr. Bumgardner's sermon, but some of them I was trying to cross off as he went because I was trying not to duplicate many of them. So Psalm 34 and verse 11, I would like to read that one verse. Come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Once again, it says to seek peace by not sinning, by staying away from sin and from living, doing evil things, and from speaking evil and from speaking against speaking evil against anyone, for that matter. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. You have to be able to do that to have the peace of Christ. So, brethren, the peace of God, the peace that we are to seek, is a peace of truth, and it only truly comes from Christ, the only true peace that we can have. It's a peace of equality. One day, everyone will know Christ's peace. That day, the world does not know, but we can. All of you, myself, we all can know and have the peace of Christ because our eyes are open and we have the opportunity to live now, no matter what goes on around us. As long as we hold on to God, we can have the peace of Christ. Number two, peace with self. There's a little, well, it's not real little, but there's something I want to read you for this next section. It's a poem by Larry Hart. How many of you have heard Leaving the City of Regrets before? Hopefully no one's used it down here in a sermon. Leaving the City of Regrets. This is concerning peace with self. I had not really planned on taking a trip this time of year, yet I found myself packing rather hurriedly. This trip was going to be unpleasant, and I knew in advance that there would really be no good to come of it. I'm talking about my annual guilt trip. I got tickets to fly there on Wish I Had Airlines. It was an extremely short flight. I got my baggage, which I could not check. I chose to carry it myself all the way. It was weighted down with thousands of memories of what might have been. No one greeted me as I entered the terminal to the Regret City International Airport. I say international because people from all over the world came to this dismal town. As I checked into the Last Resort Hotel, I noticed that they would be hosting this year's most important event, the annual pity party. I wasn't going to miss this great social occasion. Many of the town's leading citizens would be there. First, there would be the Dunn family. You know, I should have done it. I would have done it. I could have done it. Then came the I Had family. You probably know Old Wish and his clan. Of course, opportunities would also be present, the missed and the lost. The biggest family would be the Yesterdays. There are far too many of them to count, but each one would have a very sad story to share with all. Then Shattered Dreams would surely make an appearance, and It's All Their Fault would regale us with stories, excuses, and how things had failed in his life, and each story would be loudly applauded by, "Don't blame me, I can't help it." Well, to make a long story short, I went to this depressing party knowing that there would be no real benefit in doing so. And, as usual, I became very depressed. But as I thought about all of the stories of failures brought back from the past, it occurred to me that all of this trip and subsequent pity party could have been canceled by me. I started to truly realize that I did not have to be there. I didn't have to be depressed. One thing kept going through my mind. I can't change yesterday, but I do have the power to make today a wonderful day. I can be happy, joyous, fulfilled, encouraged, as well as encouraging. Knowing this, I left the City of Regret immediately and left no forwarding address. Am I sorry for mistakes I've made in the past? Yes, but there is no physical way to undo them. So if you're planning a trip back to the City of Regret, please cancel all your reservations now. Instead, take a trip to a place called Starting Again. I like it so much that I have now taken up permanent residence there. My neighbors, the I Forgive Myself and the New Starts, are so very helpful. By the way, you don't have to carry around heavy baggage because the load is lifted from your shoulders upon arrival. God bless you in finding this great town. If you can find it, it's in your own heart. Please look me up. I live on I Can Do It Street. That was a poem by Larry Hart. It may or may not have applied. I just thought it was interesting because we do tend to live our lives in the past or with regrets. So as you can see that from reading this, that the major obstacle to having peace is our own selves. I think I mentioned in a sermon one other time that when you repent and you go to God through the Son, through Jesus, then your sins are separated as far as East is from the West. We've known this. We've been taught this all of our lives. Well, I thought that, I guess I look at things a little differently than some. I think that when you repent, and then next week you repent from the same thing again, and then in another day or two, you repent again, and you just keep bringing it up. It's kind of like you go to God, and they open the books, and God says, you know what he's talking about, son? And Jesus looks at him and says, I don't know. It's not written here anywhere. That just helps me. It helped me because I used to be one that I had a problem with repenting and re-repenting over and over again. And what does that do when we do that, brethren? Well, actually, even though God says he separates as far as the east is from the west, Satan can no longer condemn us for it, can he? However, because we keep bringing it up to God anew, that gives Satan a way to be involved, to reintroduce the sin and blame us all over again. I mean, if we're going to blame ourselves, he's going to jump right on the bandwagon. So we must learn to forgive ourselves. I mean, I certainly don't want to ask for a show of hands of how many bad things you all have done. I know I've done enough for all of us combined. But we have to learn to trust God that when he says he forgives us, that we are able to forgive ourselves, or it becomes an obstacle for Satan to use against us. Please turn to Colossians 3. This is one of the scriptures I had to shorten. In Colossians 3, Oh, I'm sorry. In verse 15, I had a lot of scriptures from this section, and since Mr. Baumgartner focused on it, I want to just read verse 15, Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. One of the tools that we can use to put things to rest and to not keep living in the past is to be thankful. Instead of blaming, say, you remember you did something so many years ago, you repented of it, when, you know, Satan's going to keep pushing your buttons. I'd like to tell you that he'll stop and never bother you again, but he won't. And if it's something that bothers you, that's going to be the first thing he pushes. So when that happens, as Mr. Armstrong used to say, to get rid of something, you need to substitute something in its place for an effective tool to be used. So when you remember there's something you want to repent of that you've already repented of, then think of something you're thankful for and say that instead. And remind yourself of a blessing that God has given you. And anytime you have a bad thought that you know you shouldn't have, think of something good, of a thankful thing that you can espouse to everyone. You can say it as many times as you want. Boy, I live in a beautiful home on a beautiful farm, and unless it's, you know, 109 degrees outside, I say that almost every day. And I even say it then because I still have a home with air conditioning. So anyway, substitute to help yourself not feel guilty. Substitute a good thing for an evil thing. You want to be happy? If you're not happy, well, the Bible says the best way to be happy, to be filled with joy, is to give. Find someone you can help. Find someone that you can give something to that maybe they don't have and can't possibly replace. Not to boost your ego or anything like that. I'm not suggesting that. I'm saying if you're mentally down, you're unhappy, then give. It's an automatic reward. Are you worried? Are you filled with fear? Then go to your Bible. Read about God's power. Learn to put your faith and trust in God. God can do everything. Stop saying the words that are defeating, like, I can't. I can't do that. That's too hard. I hear children anymore so many times you say, why don't you do that? Oh, it's too hard. No, I can't do that. I think that the school systems, when I was young, they basically taught you that you can do anything. I grew up thinking, wow, you know, of course we hadn't gone to the moon yet and all that. I wonder what they're teaching them now. I know my Jenna, Aaron's second, who's in the second grade, they told her this is the last year they're going to teach cursive writing because you don't need it anymore. So they're not teaching our children to write. They teach them to print instead or use a computer and print it out. I heard that they're not teaching higher math because there's no need for it. We have computers. We have calculators. So I have to believe that from the, it says you know them by their fruits. Just watch our children. What are they depressed? I mean, there's more kids on drugs from grade school just because they, you know, if they have a little bit what's the word I'm looking for, a little life to them, they give them Ritalin or something because, oh, well, they need to be settled down. The teacher doesn't want to fool with them. I tell you, we need God's kingdom more and more, and that's another thing to focus on. Putting peace on, having peace, is what I'm basically summing up is an action word. Put it on. Not let it drop on me, I hope. Or maybe somebody will make me feel good. It's something you seek peace. Pursue it. That's an action. If you think it'll just fall on you, you probably will be very unhappy. So you're not. If you are seeking it and you're still unhappy and you don't have peace, then seek it harder. Ask your brethren, like Mr. Baumgartner pointed out, if we don't pray for one another, if we can't help one another out in our individual problems and goals, I mean, who are you going to turn to? This is God's body. We are God, Christ's body. And if the toe hurts and the hand doesn't reach down and massage it, then the toe is just going to keep getting sorer. Is that a word? It's getting more and more sore. We need to learn to help one another, which gets into the third category of peace with others. Please turn to 1 Peter. I'm sorry, I know he used it, but I have to use this one. 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter 3, beginning in verse 8. 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, all of you, be of one mind, one body. Have compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tenderhearted. Be courteous. Not returning evil for evil. This is all action. This isn't just, well, I'll be nice to them if they're nice to me. Well, they don't talk to me, so I'm not going to talk to them. There's no requirements here. It's you do it. Do not return evil for evil or reviling for reviling. Why? Because love covers a multitude of sin. In another scripture, right? But on the contrary, blessings, knowing that you are called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. You may inherit a blessing if you are a blessing to someone else. We are to be a blessing to one another, brethren. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile. Let him turn away from the evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. What's this? I forgot to count. That would have been a good point. About the fourth or fifth scripture now that said seek peace and pursue it. You can go back and look at it, the scriptures yourself, and find how many places God says, seek peace, pursue it. We have a song. I don't remember the title of it. By the way, do you have your hymnal, the hymnal that I made into four-part harmony? You can get your own copies. It's been released. So just ask if you want a copy of it. And there's 12 songs that are copyrighted that aren't on it. But you can listen. I mean, there's mistakes in it. I'm sure you can. I sang one of the bass parts. There were eight of us. I directed it, sang one of the bass parts, and that's not really handy in a C shape on the stage down at the home office. But anyway, thought you might enjoy it. If you haven't received your copy, just ask for it, and they can make you a copy if you don't have a way of downloading it yourself. It's also a good way to practice with song leading because you have eight people singing the hymns, and you can practice song leading at home. That was another reason that we did it that way. And also for churches that don't, you can use it if Mrs. Baumgartner can't play 1 week or something, you can play that. Or there's still the piano parts, as you all know, because we've been through that before. Sorry, got off topic there. So, do not render evil for evil. But notice, when it says about the tongue, as Mr. Baumgartner pointed out, and the lips, it says to control your own tongue and lips, not other people's tongues and lips. It's not a license to go out and start telling other people what they're doing wrong, unless, of course, you see your brother stumble, as he pointed out, then most assuredly. There, as long as you don't have the mote in your own eye or the beam in your own eye, you talk to your brother after you prayed about it. Matthew 18 is for one purpose. It's not to get even with someone, it's to gain a brother. That's, if you read right down through it, it says that the goal was to gain a brother. It doesn't say it in quite those words, but that's really what the whole purpose is. You can't gain a brother if you're beating him over the head with something. Focus on serving and helping others. Let God take care of us. If I focus on helping you, and I don't worry about myself, believe me, God can do more for me than I can for myself, and you the same. We should focus on helping and serving God and our fellow man. In the church first, and then, obviously, goes without saying, your own families, but also to all mankind, as much as we're given the ability to do so. Focus on serving and helping. Be childlike, not childish. Remember, you can pick your friends. You can pick your nose, but you can't pick your friend's nose. You're supposed to laugh right there, isn't it? That's all right. I'm trying to lighten the mood in here a little bit. I'll refer you back to Colossians chapter 3 and 4 for your reading in your own time. Those are two excellent chapters in telling us, as Mr. Baumgartner pointed out, of getting along with one another. It gives a whole list of people. Men, women, children, professional, non-professional. So if you look over chapter 3 and chapter 4 of Colossians, I don't think that it misses anyone in there. And it tells you how to respect and how to properly speak to one another and how to get along. That's the purpose, to gain a brother, to get along with one another. We're in the same body. It does no good for your leg to try to run in the other direction, because if your body doesn't want to go, it's not going to get very far, 2 or 3 steps maybe. And that's the way we need to look at all of God's people. No matter what the organizational name is, if we're keeping, as Mr. Luker pointed out, and Mr. Baumgartner even said as well, that if they're keeping the laws of God, if they have Christ's Spirit, which we can't see ourselves, but God can, they are in Christ's body. It's not us up to us, it's up to Christ. Let Him be the leader of the church. And that's for all of us. I'm not getting on to you about that. But so, brethren, there are many other examples that you can come up for yourself to have peace with God, to have peace with yourself, and to have peace with others. In everything you do, make serving and pleasing God your first priority, and serving our fellow man as your second. As our last scripture, please turn over to John, the book of John, chapter 13. The one commandment that Christ left with us. John 13, 34 and 35. John 13, chapter 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this will everyone know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So Christ, we already have all of the scriptures about love of God. The first four commandments of love of God. And the the last six is towards fellow man. And he pointed out, love one another as yourself. Do this and trust in God to provide the rest, and you will have the peace of Christ within you. Within us, I should say. Thank you for...